You're listening to The Training Dummies. With James Ridges.
This is some thirsty work! Hold on a sec. delicious tea with boba!
Greetings and welcome to episode 181 of The Training Dummies, recorded November 16th, 2017. My name is James, I am your guest host, and joining me today, guests for the first time on their own podcast, the host guests, if that's not confusing enough, it's Rob and Daryl. Say hello, dudes.
It's a good thing I just pushed to talk, because I was cracking up that whole time. Surreal, man. Surreal.
Yeah, this isn't this awesome. Supposed to be like? Isn't this supposed to be an applause sound or something at this
oh,
point?
Oh! Yeah, my kids are in bed though. So. Oh, all right, I guess.
How are you, my dude? I'm compelled to ask you to talk a little bit about your backgrounds with gaming and Blizzard and Warcraft and what you do now. Mm-hmm. Talk about your podcast. It's up to you,
Daryl. You go ahead first, man.
All right. Well, I started gaming, I guess, with an Atari 2600. First computer was a Commodore 64, and it just slowly evolved there. As for Blizzard and Warcraft, I played the original Warcraft. I didn't play Warcraft 2. I played a little bit of Warcraft 3. I never did finish it. And then when World of Warcraft started up, I started on release day, which apparently is like 13 years ago. Was it like next week, I think?
Oh, man. Well, yeah, what a day.
Yeah, so it's coming up here right away, the actual date. And I've been playing ever since. I've had a couple small breaks here and there, but I always come back because I really enjoy the game. And, as for all the Blizzard games, I really enjoy Heroes, Overwatch. I love the story of Overwatch, but I'm terrible at, FPS games, so I don't actually play that game.
Yeah, me too, man.
Hearthstone is a game I love to hate. I try and play the game, but there's just, even still, we had a good discussion in our guild chat today, even about Hearthstone, and there's still so much I just don't know and don't understand. And it still surprises me on how much of that game there is to actually learn, like all the little nuances and even just learning the cards. I don't know how, like people list a card. I don't know what that is. I don't know what it does. I don't know if it's a good card, bad card, like any of that. So there's still so much to learn for that. And my struggle is actually figuring out an easy way for me to learn that to hopefully enjoy the game more.
That's how I feel about American football.
You just, you have no idea. Was that good? I don't know. Yeah, what does it look
like? Yeah, 70 yards with a pass for 301. I have no idea what you're talking about. What is this?
Well, then you take that a step further and then go Canadian football, which is like American, but different.
Have you guys ever seen Australian rules football?
Like full-on... No.
Rugby or...
Rugby, but that's not Australian.
No, that's
right?
not. No, no, that's no. different, isn't
this
it?
Is yeah. its own, this is its own thing. Sometime Google or search on YouTube for just Australian rules football. It's insane. It's the most ridiculous sport I've ever seen. And they draw crowds of tens of thousands every week. It's crazy.
Nice.
There's what about so many you, Rob? Variations of it, like the arena football and all that stuff too. But
yeah, but talk about your gaming background, Rob.
Oh man, almost identical to Daryl. I started off with the Atari 2600. We were kids, and we got that, and we had to ask permission to play it with the volume off because that's how my parents rolled because they didn't like the beeps and the boops. So from there, graduated into the original Nintendo. Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64. I was a very hardcore Nintendo console kid for a very, very, very long time. Game Boys, you name it. And then finally worked my way into a little bit of Xbox. Played a lot of Call of Duty, a lot of the first-person shooter games on console is a whole different story. But I think by kind of dipping my toe into the PC world was... some original Warcraft, original Starcraft, Diablo 2. Around the time my wife and I were dating, I was playing Diablo 2 like pretty hardcore. Like I was at that what was it? At that time, we were, you know, you could buy items on eBay, and then people would meet up with you and game and deliver the items to you. And I was playing probably too much at the time, because I remember, you know, we were engaged, and she was like, "You should probably stop playing games now." And here I am today. I'm still playing games, and she's still with me here. So that's kind of the shorter version of it. We definitely love Warcraft. I think I probably like Overwatch a little more, just in terms of like a willingness to play it. I think a little more of a background with FPS style games. Mm-hmm. So I do enjoy Hearthstone. I do find it annoying and irritating, but I actually do like it a lot. And definitely some heroes. Pretty much everything except for the current StarCraft 2 iterations. I don't play much of that. But with the announcement that was made at BlizzCon, I'm probably going to give that a spin.
It's free to play as well now, so you know,
yep, exactly.
You don't own it, you just got to get it. But what I've really learned here in the last couple of minutes, Rob, is that you and I would not have been friends as kids. I was firmly in Team Sega's corner when it came to consoles.
I wasn't opposed to the other consoles.
Yeah, no, but I was firmly opposed to Nintendo.
Nintendo stuff was so good, though. Like the original Super Mario games and the original Zelda games, man, those were just so good.
I'm a little bit saddened that I didn't grow an appreciation for those until I was an adult, because I think if I had been a little more pragmatic when I was 11 years old, and you know, what 11-year-old can you look at and say, oh, that's a pragmatic 11-year-old? But had I been, I probably would have been both Nintendo and Sega. But as it was, I was definitely encamped with my Sega Master System and Sonic and Alex Kidd in Wonderland. Yeah. And, you know, that was just my world back then. I was all the way through to Sega Dreamcast that I was really into that. And by the way, if you've never read the book, there's a book called Console Wars by, I think the guy's named Blake Williams. Brilliant book that actually chronicles in an amazing narrative form the era of Nintendo versus Sega, mid-80s through to mid-90s, and kind of how that all went down. And it's just a fascinating, very addictive read for anyone who was into consoles at that time.
That was just nice. What I grew up with. That sounds, I'm going to check that out.
And I'd heard that there's both a documentary and a screenplay movie in the works for...
Oh. See, if they can... I don't know if... I'd probably watch it either way. I would say if they do it right, I'll watch it, but I'd check it out. I love that stuff.
All right. So here we are on our Training Dummies reverse cast. You guys ready to get into this?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Let's do this. Run the promo.
This is Seraphita from Rockets Esports, and you're listening to the Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
So by the way, if you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what I am doing, I am active on Twitter. I am at English Guy. If you're at all interested in this podcast, which you probably are if you're listening, it's at Training Dummies. And this week we're going to talk a little bit about BlizzCon as a follow-up from the podcast that I was a guest on a few weeks ago. When we were at BlizzCon, I said to Daryl and Rob, wouldn't it be cool to find out from kind of a reverse interview perspective what it is like to be a BlizzCon attendee? And as someone who is on the other side of BlizzCon, I'm heavily involved in planning and setup and execution. I'm always really envious of people who just get to attend it and enjoy it. So you guys, just kind of give me your general overall impressions, your kind of takeaway from BlizzCon 2017.
Do you want to go first?
Go for it.
I have spent the last whatever it is now, week and a half, like coming down from the BlizzCon high that happened. I was not skeptical at all about this BlizzCon, but I definitely was not sure how it was going to turn out because of just the new area of the convention center and a lot of the promotional stuff that went out ahead of time, talking about how, like, hey, you should go sit at one of the other stages for the opening ceremony. And I was like, why would anybody do that? That's crazy. Like, why would you not sit at the main stage? But turns out, Daryl and I kind of... We approached BlizzCon a little bit differently this year, more of like, we'll just do this on our terms. I'll do BlizzCon the way I want to do it instead of just getting swept up into everything, which turns out was a wonderful idea. And I had an amazing experience with it. I had so much fun. I was able to consume exactly what I wanted and go where I wanted and, you know, to try and see the people that I wanted. And it was like, it was very, very good. It was way less stressful. It was just a solid experience.
What about you, Daryl?
Yeah, it was. I think that was the best decision we made, was to not try and do the main stage. I know we had another guy staying in the room with us, and he was up at 5:30 in the morning to head over to get in line for the main stage. And while I haven't done quite that early before in past years, like this was my fourth one. In past years, I haven't been quite that early, but I've been standing in the line for a couple hours at least before the doors opened. And this was his first one. So we did let him know that, hey, you know, this is your first. You do want to experience the main stage because it is an experience. But Rob and I, you know, we've experienced it before. And yeah, we made the decision this year to not do that. And I think that was a great decision because we went over to the Hearthstone stage and that was fantastic. You know, we had a great time over there. We got front row seats. Ben Brode was amazing. And, it was on our terms, right? You know, we weren't, as Rob just said, we weren't swept up in the mad rush to get in. We waited till our buddy who got up at 5:30. We waited until he said the doors were open and he was in before we even wandered over. So, you know, there was no line. It was great. I loved that part of it. As for overall impressions, I really enjoyed this BlizzCon. There's a few other things I think I would have liked to see, but I still, you know, there's even more on the virtual ticket this year than there has been years past. So I just need to find the time here in the next couple of weeks to actually see what I didn't get to see. But I don't even know what that is yet because I haven't even had a real good look. You know, I just enjoyed myself. I didn't try and rush anything. I didn't, you know, it's like, okay, I'm here. Well, I'll watch this right now. But yeah, overall impressions, I really enjoyed it. I had a fantastic time this year, and it was probably my favorite BlizzCon so far out of the past four that I've been to. This was definitely, I think, my favorite.
Yeah, that's really good to hear. And, you know, you talk about people lining up super early, like 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m. My call time on the Friday was 7 a.m. to be in position. And so I was walking up the kind of main promenade between the Hilton and Marriott hotels at around, it was probably around 6:45 a.m. And there must have been, there must have been 5,000 people out there. It was all the way back.
Wow.
Yeah, from the front doors of the convention center, it was all the way back to where kind of the roundabout circle is. You know where I'm talking about, like yeah, the fountains, very end of the promenade. No, the
that
other side.
Early.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Shoot, down by the Hilton entrance then.
Yeah, where the taxi entrance is.
Oh, good Lord.
Wow.
4, 7 a.m. Yeah, it was real crazy. But I mean, it's also, you know, as someone who helps put this thing on, like just seeing that enthusiasm and that fervor for that opening moment, it's just a really special thing. And, you know, I have my own highlights. I have my own things that I kind of take away from it. But obviously, it's a little bit different when you guys are an attendee. So if there was one thing that you could point to over both the Friday and the Saturday and all the kind of the community stuff, Friday night, Saturday night, what is like one highlight that when you guys think back to BlizzCon 2017, you will always remember, oh, that was BlizzCon 2017.
Man, I don't want to get ahead because you actually asked this question a little bit later on, but being able to do the backstage tour was probably the top of my list. And we could talk about that more here in a minute, but if I'm going to pick something that was just consumer related, you know, like no kind of hookup or anything, it's probably gonna be it's this mixed mash of things. It's the being with your friends and everything, but if I'm gonna pinpoint one thing, it was probably the going in and watching Canada versus Australia in the Overwatch playoffs.
That was a crazy match, right?
We just happened to get in there, and of course we've got Daryl and Pink and a couple friends with us, and they're from Canada, and we just happen to go in there and see this reverse sweep that Canada's down two games and then they come back and win three, and it's in that arena, it's in that giant area, and it was kind of empty when we went in there, and then by the time, you know, match three was really going, next thing you know, this place is just packed and people are going wild, and I have this crazy, it's just overwhelming feeling that like it validates what I what I am into and what I do. You know, I don't really consider it a hobby so much, but it's like just it's a passion. It's what I love to do. So when you're trying to explain esports to somebody that you know that just doesn't get it, like, and then you go into something like this, it's very fulfilling to be there.
That's really awesome. How about you, Daryl?
Well, it's not directly related to BlizzCon, and Rob kind of touched on this a bit, but it's BlizzCon as an event that just brings everyone together. And we've made a lot of friends over the years of playing Warcraft together and various other games, and we've become really close. And this year we had a lot of people from the guild this year who all came to BlizzCon. And that is my favorite part of BlizzCon, is getting to see all of these people face to face, you know, giving hugs, and you see them, hugs before you leave. But getting to see everyone face to face and talk to them face to face. And, you know, normally when you interact with all these people, it's behind a screen, you're playing the game. But at BlizzCon, you're not playing a game at all. You're there with each other, and the game is like back of mind. That's partly the reason you're getting together, but you're not doing that part of it at all. So that is really my favorite part. Like, it's an amazing experience. It's, you know, these games are global games. And, you know, this year we had, and last year as well, a gentleman from New Zealand who was, you know, we've made friends with because of these games, and he was there. Several of us from Canada and the US, there's Ohio, Texas, Anaheim.
From New Zealand.
Yeah. So it's, oh man, I can never remember where Robin's from.
Netherlands.
Terrible. Netherlands. Yeah, Netherlands. Yeah, there you go. So yeah, another one of our friends from Netherlands, and we're all together all at the same time, having a good time, you know, enjoying each other's company. And that is my favorite part of BlizzCon, is that all of us, you know, all converge in one spot to, you know, enjoy this event together.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with that. And I think about kind of the highlights for me, even though I was working most of the time, like one of the takeaways for me this year, that's always going to stick with me, that we were all hanging out in the Hearthstone Tavern, mm-hmm. and kind of around a table. And there was, I don't know, maybe a dozen of us from the guild, most people I had not met before. And just kind of very casually had met here in Discord or in game. And then we took a guild photograph on by the fireplace in the Hearthstone Tavern. And like, that's a really precious moment to me, because it's been, oh gosh, 7-8 years since I was a part of a guild, a group of people that kind of did that at BlizzCon and kind of made the focus about our family and our, you know, this thing we do together, no matter where we were from in the world. So that was a really precious moment. But you know what? Like, there's a negative to every positive. There's a yin to the yang. I want to hear from you guys, particularly as someone that is a part of the whole production. Give me a thing that you had wish had just been a little bit better. Like, you know, BlizzCon is not a perfectly executed event. There's always things to improve. So from an attendee point of view, what's something that you could see being improved upon?
I'm gonna go first, because I don't want Daryl to steal my answer. So
that was nice.
But honestly, okay, this is probably easier said than done. But what I would really wish is that we could add an extra day, because I feel like at this point, with the way that Blizzard Entertainment has grown and added new games and new IPs and new content all the time, it's 2 days of everything just jam-packed into there. And I feel like the biggest advice that I was given to people when I would run into them, they're like, what should I do? Or our guildies that had, you know, was their first BlizzCon. The only thing I could tell them is like, you are not going to see everything. Like, I'm sorry, you're not. You're not going to see all your favorite stuff. You're not going to go to all of the playoffs and all the championships and all the panels and all the things. And it's like, I feel like maybe another day could help stretch that a little bit, and maybe line up with some of the championships or World Cups, or, you know, I don't know. I feel like that's always the thing that I think could be a little bit better. And I don't know if that's just a generic answer, but that's kind of the main thing that I think when I wish, like, what could we do differently?
What about you, Daryl?
This is a hard question, because I always have such a good experience at BlizzCon. I don't know what you could do better, because it always just seems great. I know it's almost a silly answer, but like the seats at esports, especially the Heroes ones, it's hard to get a good seat there. They're uncomfortable, but like that's, you know, it's almost a silly answer, but that's all I can really think of, right? That's, I know we were late going to the Hearthstone final, or not the Hearthstone, Heroes final, and we ended up having to sit way at the back, and there was, you know, some of the spotlights ended up shining just right in your eyes, and that was just one thing, but it's nothing serious. It's yeah. not a, you know, a big issue. It's just, that's really all I can think of, really. It's just,
yeah, you know, like both of these things that you've both brought up are actually, like, it's things that we discuss, right? Because Anaheim Convention Center, we talk about seating for tournament stages. Mm-hmm. Anaheim Convention Center is, it's a flat hall. Yeah. So, like, ideally, everybody has stadium seating, like the arena, and, you know, everybody can see the stage and the screens and the sound is awesome, but that's just not the nature of the building.
Well, yeah, so no,
there's, but there's always, like, those conversations, I can say this authoritatively from a production point of view, of what do we do with sound and what do we do with light to make the best of the situation, mm-hmm. you know? And then like the whole 3-day thing, man, I've been saying this for a couple of years, 2-3 years, even as an employee, my personal opinion, because there's so much that we try to squeeze into 2 days, and I'm working mm-hmm. all day, both days. I don't get to see anything. I would love to have the weeks leading up to that. Well, you know, we've introduced opening week. We introduced that last year where some of the kind of elimination brackets for a couple right, of esports yeah, yeah. tournaments are held. And so maybe there's an argument to say, well, maybe we should have an extra day or two or opening week. But I think really what people are yearning for or asking for is like another half day, maybe Thursday afternoon or something like that, just to start introing. You could still do opening ceremony Friday morning. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, this thing just grows every year. It gets bigger. It gets better. It's just one of those things that I think at some point, somebody who has influence and authority is likely to make a decisive decision, right? Either we're staying at 2 days and we'll deal with it, or yeah, we're going to kind of have to expand this because our content is beyond the capability of 48 hours, you know?
Well, it's definitely one of those things. Like I said, it's probably easier said than done. And I know the whole thing is, my whole feed is filled with people that are exhausted, employees and consumers, you know, and gamers, like you name it. Like it's an exhausting thing, but in the most wonderful way. So you wish there could be a third day, but like I get, it's not that easy to do. I mean, there's no other single company that I can think about in the world, in any industry, one single company that puts on a convention this size that runs for multiple days. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's certainly an effort. But speaking of like kind of opening ceremonies and timings, one of the announcements this year, we should talk about this, the new WoW expansion. There was an incredible cinematic that was played. J. Allen Brack got up and he spoke about kind of what's next for World of Warcraft. And then we got this thing, Battle for Azeroth. It's Horde versus Alliance. It's Anduin versus Sylvanas. Everybody's pissed off at each other once again. You guys excited? Like, what are your thoughts here?
Go ahead, Daryl.
Okay. To be honest.
Please be honest.
Okay. It felt underwhelming. Because since day one, we have always fought. I'm Horde through and through. We've always fought the Alliance. And it just felt underwhelming. I do have some things that I hope are going to happen later on in the expansion. I'm hoping what'll happen is, you know, later on, we'll have to mend those fences, you know, mend everything and come together to fight like the old gods, because the old gods are what got us to this point where, you know, they tried to really pit us against each other, and we realized that and come together to take on the final threat. And then we're always together because, you know, when I thought about it afterwards, the announcement that was Battle for Azeroth, you know, it's Horde versus Alliance, and it's something that's always, it's always been there. It's, you know, we're always fighting each other. Even when we're fighting something else, we're still always fighting each other. What would have been like a more wow factor would have been the factions are coming together, right? That would have been like, mind blowing, right? So that's my feeling. I'm still excited for it because it's new content. I love this game. I've been playing it for 13 years and I'm not going to stop until Blizzard stops making the game. And I know that. I know that for a fact. Like this game, I've been playing this game longer than I've had two of my children, right? So it's, and my oldest is only 14 and this game's been out for 13 years. So, you know, it's a part of my life and it's going to stay a part of my life. But anyway, that was my feeling. You know, I was excited because of the announcement, an expansion announcement, but when I reflected on it later on, that was the thoughts that I had.
So, but what I'm getting from what you're saying here is you're theorizing that kind of somewhere down the line in Battle for Azeroth, we find out that there is kind of an unsaid third party antagonist in all of this that mm-hmm. is kind of stoking the fires of war. Yeah. And perhaps the two factions come together when they realize that. That's kind of where you're going with this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Rob?
I was definitely more excited than I think Daryl may have led on there. There was some moments that happened that were super, like, almost jump out of my chair moments when they showed Jaina again and she'd gone full let it go Elsa style, and of course Sylvanas when she went Banshee and just started laying the smackdown, like, those are super exciting.
Oh yeah, like the cinematic was amazing.
The yes. cinematic was beautiful. It was stunning.
Like, best in the business, right?
How many times have you heard people clamoring or asking for a full blown, like a series, like a Netflix yeah, series or a totally. Film, right? Like, I think I would prefer a full on film over the Warcraft movie that came out last year. Mm, like, a film in this style, I think, would probably scratch that itch a lot more for me personally. But
I agree with that. Yeah.
So knowing what we know from that opening cinematic and kind of some of the what's next panels that Ian Hazzikostas did, and also the kind of preview of the new Christy Golden book, Before the Storm. So things that we know that the Alliance are launching an attack on Lordaeron. We know that much. And we know that it is either a response or a precursor, we don't know for sure which one, to Sylvanas burning down Teldrassil. So let's theory craft for a moment. Who shot first? Was it Anduin or was it Sylvanas?
Anduin.
Why?
Because I'm Horde through and through. And the Alliance the Alliance is the bad guys. You ask my kids who the bad guys are in Warcraft, they'll tell you it's the Alliance. I raised my kids right.
This is great. This is so great. What about you, Rob?
Well, I mean, that's the right answer. That's like, obviously. But we know Sylvanas. Like, I kind of have to say Sylvanas, even though Daryl's answer was the better answer.
I must say, I'm just very excited to find out. Like, I personally don't know. I'm very close to this, and even I don't know. So I'm very excited to find out kind of how this plays out, why the war. Like, what is it that sparks this giant attack on Lordaeron, and kind of what is the how does that echo through Azeroth? You know, it's going to be cool. So you guys mentioned a little bit about the Overwatch tournament you saw in the arena. What a great game by Canada. Let's talk about esports. Did you guys catch any other tournaments, Heroes, WoW Arena? Talk about that a little bit. Highlight moments, kind of special memories, anything like that?
Well, like Daryl mentioned, we did get to catch the Heroes, a couple of different Heroes matches. Mm-hmm. And the finals, we sat a little far back, but it's still just being there is like, there's no substitute for being there. You can watch it you could stream it to your TV or do whatever, but being there surrounded by thousands and thousands of other people screaming and cheering and knowing these games well enough to where I can look at it and I can know why they made that pick or what's going on a certain map or, you know, some of the, you know, more than surface level stuff that's going on. It's just like, it's an amazing experience. And, and like I was saying a little bit ago, like I was trying to explain esports to a few people lately. Like I feel like even in my own personal life or my work life, I've opened up a little more about that and trying to explain some of it either to my wife or watching Heroes at home and my son you know, he's four, but he's looking at this and he's loving it, right? He loves whoever's on the blue team because blue is his favorite color, and whichever hero is riding a horse because he loves horses. So if you're on the blue team or you're riding a horse, then you're going to win. So like sitting there and even just cheering with him, you know, even though he doesn't know what's going on, it's just like this super cool moment. You know, I remember growing up and there was always a football game on or a basketball game on. And now like I'm able to share this stuff with my kids that I love, and being able to be there at BlizzCon and experience it live is just like, it's an amazing, amazing experience. I walked by some of the Warcraft stuff that was going on and watched some of it. I'm not super into the Warcraft arena, like the PvP stuff, but I can tell that it's better than it's ever been before. And I think we were saying this about the Overwatch stuff too, like just the production behind it, as a spectator, what you're looking at has really, it's even better than it was last year, right, Daryl, like with the Overwatch stuff?
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of got that that sports production feel to it from end to end. I think that Blizzard have done a really good job with the esports team on kind of leveling up the production value and kind of making it look and feel a little bit more like a traditional sport, so it's a bit more accessible to the casual observer. I think that the company's doing a really good job at that. Daryl, what were your esports highlights?
Well, just a little background. If you'd asked me this like 2 years and 1 month ago, I'd have said, you're crazy. There's no way I'm going to sit and watch someone else play a video game when I could play that video game myself. And then BlizzCon 2015 happened, and I watched Cloud9 win the first Heroes Championship. And holy cow, that was amazing. It legitimized esports for me, that experience. All the people that were there, they were all cheering for Cloud9. They were the home team, right? And they won. It was incredible. So that really transformed my thinking on esports. And because I've watched sports, I grew up, Canadian football. That's the league I watch. I've got my team there. I'm diehard. I bleed green, Rough Rider green. And so I've always watched sports. I've always cheered for the traditional sports teams. And esports, it just wasn't there for me. And then, yeah, 2 years ago, that all changed. And then last year, you know, because I had such a great time watching Heroes the year before, I made a point to go and watch Heroes again last year. And then this year, same thing. And this year, the final match where MVP Black finally took it, that was probably the best game of Heroes I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
Yeah, I agree.
It was back and forth. Even at level 21, both teams still had three towers left, which is incredible, right? It was, you didn't know who was going to win that match. You had no idea. And then finally, it came down to one team fight that MVP Black happened to win, and then they were able to go push the core. But it was incredible. It was, you know, and here I am talking about this like I might talk about, you know, so Canadian football again. My team, the Rough Riders, are in the playoffs. And last week, they ended up winning their first playoff game. So they're advancing to this Sunday, and they're playing again this Sunday. And if they win that, they're in the Grey Cup, the final. And, you know, I'm talking about esports now. Like I'm talking about how I used to only just talk about football. And it's incredible to me how it's involved. You know, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an amazing experience. And it took being at a live event for it to really click home with me. Like, yeah, this is real. I could do this.
Yeah, I can understand that parallel. I'm a big Major League Soccer fan. I've been a season ticket holder of LA Galaxy for 11. I'm coming up on my 12th season next year, just renewed. And, you know, there's been moments in my kind of supporting Galaxy through the years where, you know, we've won MLS Cups. We've won championships. We've been a great team. 2017 was an absolute disaster, but I still talk about the team as if You know, it's very much a passion of mine. And what I've found is, as I've gotten deeper into esports and kind of started to align myself with certain favorite WoW Arena teams, like WoW Arena is my favorite thing to watch. Mm-hmm. But as we're starting to look into like Overwatch League and things like that, and I'm trying to figure out which Overwatch League team am I going to support? And by the way, that's going to be the London Spitfire. Of course, what else would it be? Let's be serious here for a moment. But I start talking about that. I find myself having that same kind of fervor and that same kind of enthusiasm for like the success of esports as I do my own Major League Soccer team or my English Premier League team. I think it's wonderful. I had a great moment at the WoW stage. I was actually working the WoW Arena stage for most of Friday and Saturday, but I got to see there's an incredible moment. Method Synergy were the reigning champions. They were favorites to win again. Panda Global were kind of the underdogs. They were the least favorites. And they knocked out, Panda Global beat Method Synergy in the semifinal, 3-1. And it was just the most precious moment because these four dudes from Panda Global absolutely were not, they had incredible self-belief, but were not expecting to win against Method Synergy. And the crowd were behind them, and these guys were like hugging and crying on stage that they got into the final. They didn't go on to win it. ABC are the new reigning champions. They swept them 4-0 in the final. But it was such an incredible moment to see such passion and such vibrancy to an esport that, let's face it, WoW Arena is as old as the game now. We've been doing this since the very first BlizzCon in 2005.
Oh,
so
wow.
WoW Arena itself is 12 years old. And to have such an incredible energy and vibrancy behind an esport that has been rejuvenated by some dedicated focus and such high production value, it's just a really incredible thing for me to see, not just as a Blizzard employee, but just as a WoW fan and a WoW Arena fan. I think that kind of aligns with what you're saying there about heroes and kind of having that live experience kind of changes your perception of it. Right, Daryl?
Oh, yeah, totally. It was totally the live experience. And then after that, I couldn't wait to start watching it at home. And I've done that, right? It's on Twitch on Saturdays. Every now and then I'll turn on Twitch, even on our big TV, like the 55-inch TV in the living room. Every now and then, I'll throw some heroes on there, and everyone can come watch.
That's fantastic. So, speaking of esports, on the Saturday afternoon, just before the semifinals were kicking off for most tournaments, I gave both you guys a backstage tour of the stage production areas, and you kind of got to see what goes on behind the big black curtain. Super interested to hear what your thoughts are, what it's like behind there. Is it anything like you expected? Is it not anything like you expected? Kind of what are your highlights from that moment?
I was kind of mentioning earlier that was probably the highlight of the entire BlizzCon for me, was kind of like being able to do that. I totally nerd out on that stuff. I'm an IT guy. I getting to see behind the curtain and see how the sausage is made, I guess, is one way to put it. But doing that it was very, very impactful for me, being able to see that and see the dedication and the hard work and just the attention to detail, like how you're explaining, how you provision the machines and how these are localized and these aren't, and here's the power coming in and the internet coming in, and here we have to set all this stuff up in advance. It's just like the magnitude of it. Like, it's what I expected, but when you see it, it just blows you away. Like I you see the event and you know, this is crazy. This is huge. This took a lot of work and hours and everything. But when you see it and you go back there, it is like, it blows your mind to see like everything from the taking care of the players to the, to the production. Like you were explaining some of the Overwatch production and how many, how they do the different viewers and the shot calling and the production and the director and how that translates to what we're seeing on the screen. It was just like, it was, I don't know. I could have probably spent the entire BlizzCon just walking around back there and just been happy back there. It was genuinely awesome. Amazing. Yeah, my regret is was the no pictures policy, but like I was like,
yeah,
I can't ruin this. I can't ruin this. Don't do it. Like, it was so good.
How about you, Daryl?
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. I'm not in IT, so some of the terms you were using, I'm not going to lie, they went over my head. but it was still an amazing experience to see, yeah, behind the big black curtain. Everyone sees the big black curtain there, but to actually go behind and see what happens there, to put on all these tournaments and esports events, it's something else. Like, I don't think people quite understand just how much work goes into putting these events on and all these tournaments. And I know it gave me a real appreciation for what Blizzard does to put these on. Like, you know, as I mentioned, what Heroes did for me in my perception of esports, there's a reason that it happened, because Blizzard put so much work into making it an experience for everyone that's there. And, you know, going back in that tour behind the scenes, yeah, it just gave me a real great appreciation for what actually goes on behind the scenes there.
That's really awesome to hear. And I think, you know, there's an element of pride that I have in kind of being able to show off a little bit of the work that I'm involved with. And in fact, there was kind of the last part of that tour was my favorite part, where, you know, everybody comes through those doors into the hall and they pay no attention to those light blue walls, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. offices that are set up at the front of the hall that people are coming in and out of. No one ever pays any attention to them because there's no windows or anything, right? But kind of being able to take you guys in there to see our incident management office and our systems guys and kind of how it was all managed and how it was all localized from there. Like, that's me showing off. I mean, these are my teammates, right? Like, that's me showing off, like, this is where it's all centralized. And part of that is also to say, these are the guys that never get to see the show. Right? They never step out of that office other than for breaks and for lunch. And so, you know, there's a core of people that work BlizzCon without ever knowing BlizzCon. And, that was a special moment for me to just kind of be able to socialize that a little bit and hearing how appreciative you guys are. And also others on Twitter and that I've seen other places online, kind of really underscores the joy that, and just kind of like the heart and soul that those of us that work it put into it. It means just as much to us too. Final question for you guys though. When I was on the show about a month ago, we kind of discussed the notion right at the very end that every BlizzCon people leave and they say it's the best BlizzCon ever. So tell me, 2017, was it the best BlizzCon ever?
Yes. 100% yes.
Wholeheartedly. Yeah. Yep. For me, yeah, there was so many things that made this just special, and I don't know, it was a lot of BlizzCon for me. I've been to three now, and each one's been a little bit different, but I've approached them differently, and this one was just like very, very impactful for me. It felt like it really a lot of it really just stuck with me, and kind of it's not just moments that I'm going to tell my kids about or esports or that kind of stuff, but it's like, I don't know, like we were saying earlier, the whole esports thing kind of, it can validate how you feel and give you a little bit of credibility in the things that you love, I guess.
For me, 100% the best BlizzCon. When I think about not just the work that we did and the effort that we put in to produce the show, but man, the moments that I did get in the Hearthstone Tavern or the Hilton Bar or the Marriott Bar, hanging out with the people, like the way I view it is the people I meet, including you guys, like our hearts beat together, right? Like we're all about the same thing. There is this immeasurable, tangible thing that connects us all. And to be able to sit and have a few beers and talk about this, talk about that for a couple of days and really be connective and friends. You know, I hadn't seen you guys in a year, but it was almost like no time had passed at all. And I felt that way about everybody that I connected with and even new friends that I met or made, or like people from Twitter that was like, hey, I'm so-and-so on Twitter. I know you. And, you know, it's just like there's a natural friendship there. There's a conversation. It's not awkward. It's not weird. And I really love what Mike Morhaime said during the opening ceremony, in that when we come talk about the BlizzCon family and the Blizzard family, there's no strangers. There's just friends that we haven't met yet. And I think that's
so good.
It's such a perfect way of putting things, because it's really, I don't think anybody would disagree with that who attends a BlizzCon. So it's really great to hear that you guys had a good time, and I certainly had a good time. And yeah, so anyway, for listeners, if you haven't already, make sure you come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server at discord.me/TTD. Best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with Rob and Daryl, myself from time to time, and the rest of the Training Dummies community, as well as the other guests that you've heard on the show. That's discord.me/TTD. Let's do some shout-outs, guys. It seems fate has
brought us together. You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
If it ain't my favorite person. Rob, who are you shouting out to?
Oh, God, dude. I feel like a little emotional after recounting some of this stuff, man. But seriously, like, you're just like kind of recapping some of these moments, and it just really sticks out to me, like, what, you know, like what we do and who we are, and like it's just so James, definitely a shout out to you for making this BlizzCon absolutely unequivocally the number one BlizzCon experience I've had. You had everything to do with that, and I really appreciate your
thank you, dude. Your
generosity and your just the openness that you extended.
You're very welcome.
Definitely to Daryl. Like, this is like going on 5.5 years doing this, and we're still excited and still talking about ways to reboot and refresh and renew, and so. Definitely a huge shout out to Daryl, man. You play an important role in my life.
You got a lot to live up to, Daryl. Give me some shout outs.
Well, yeah, definitely you. I had a great time at BlizzCon, and getting to know you better was definitely part of it. And even the idea for this whole episode was your idea. You came to us with this idea, and
that's right.
From the second you said that, it's like, wow. That's a great idea. I love it. So, yeah, big shout out to you. You definitely made this an enjoyable BlizzCon for me. Rob, same with you. You know, I feel we've become really close friends over the last, you know, 6 or 7 years. We've been playing the Warcraft together and doing this podcast together. And, you know, it's just, I wish we could see each other more often in person, you know, just go down to the bar and have a couple beers together. But we got to save that for our once a year BlizzCon trip. But yeah, big shout out to you. You've become definitely one of my best friends for sure. You know, a shout out to everyone that I met this year at BlizzCon. There was several, you know, all of our guildies there who we'd seen previous years, or there's even a few who this was their first BlizzCon, and you know, you could see the enjoyment on their faces, and they really had a good time. So, you know, a shout out to them, and it was having them there that made it, you know, a more enjoyable experience for me. So, a big shout out to everyone.
Do I get some shout outs this time as guest host?
Oh, yes.
Always.
Okay, my shout outs definitely to you guys. I mean, this has been so much fun. Second time on the podcast. Loved hanging with you at BlizzCon for what time I did. And in fact, everybody to our guild. It was so nice to meet everyone. A couple of people I'd met in years before, but you know, there was a real sense of belonging that hadn't happened in a little while for me at BlizzCon in terms of a guild and a collection of folk that I play games with, even though my time in game is kind of limited. You know, there's lifelong friendships that are forged for sure. And my appreciation runs really, really deep for that. And then also, whether they listen to this or not, I don't care. I'm going to give some direct shout outs to my team that executed everything that you saw in Hall C for the World of Warcraft Hall, to Eric, to Jeff, to Kendall, to Nikki, to Jeremy, to Kyle. Let's see, who else? To Kristen, to David, to James, and to Adam. You guys kicked ass all week and all weekend. It is nothing but a privilege and honor to work with these guys. And man, the standard keeps getting pushed higher and higher. So it's just amazing experience for me as an employee to work and just be a part of it however way I can. And so that's it. So before we wrap this episode up, Rob and Daryl, where can people reach you if they have more questions about this topic or anything else?
I gotta recommend the Training Dummies podcast if you guys want to keep up with us.
I've heard it's good.
Yeah, I may be biased, but I think it's a good place to start. And of course, Twitter. And if you don't know where to find me now by now on Twitter, then I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I'll give mine up. You can find me at Daryl_TTD, and Rob's, of course, is at Rob Copeland. The show, which James did mention earlier, was at Training Dummies. So that's probably the easiest and best way to get a hold of all of us.
And for me, in case anyone cares, I'm at English Guy on Twitter. You can find me there. You can also find me in the Discord server. And that wraps up episode 181 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and at thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we're all just jackasses with mics. So until next time, smoke me a kipper. I'll be back for breakfast.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo!